Good morning and welcome to worship.
Good morning.
On this lovely fall day where I think we saw our very first frost. But it's a lovely time of year. Today we have a terrific service for you, and we welcome the Reverend Cindy Maybeck to the pulpit. Cindy is the founder of Spirit Story Ministry, and Reverend Maybeck designs original presentations, blending scripture telling with storytelling to bring God's word to life and to inspire the church to move forward in faith with hope and joy. We look forward to your reflection. Candle lighting. As is our custom, we will be lighting the Christ candle a little later in the service, and we invite those of you who are worshiping at home to have a candle ready to light at home while we light the candle in the sanctuary. Prayer requests. You're encouraged to write any prayer requests or celebrations on the index cards that you'll find in the pews, or you can write your email prayer request to prayers@firstchurchnatick.org, and that is being monitored. In fact, it will be monitored by me, and we will have those if you email them in. I was so pleased to see the playground over here that's been set up for children during the service. Children are welcome to sit and pray in the playground, where they will find age-appropriate worship materials. And the playground is a statement to everyone that we value making physical and spiritual space available for families, and particularly our youngest worshipers. The reverse offering today. This is a terrific idea of the mission and outreach team, where everyone attending worship today will receive $5 in cash. And no, you're not supposed to go to Dunkin' Donuts. This is an opportunity to encourage our giving habits. Perhaps you want to put a little something else with that $5 and give it to an organization of your choice, whatever you feel serves Natick and the wider world best. Pay it forward in other ways. And there'll be more about this in the in service. Beth will explain the whole thing to us. The after service today, help us deliver donations to the Natick Common Good mini pantry. You can see all the items. Down in the kitchen, I saw we have a ton of diapers, which is really wonderful, one of the things that they need the most. So that'll be happening after the service. And coffee hour today, we have a wonderful program called Restoring Our Rivers. Becca Stendahl will lead us in a discussion about environmental issues, social equity, climate resilience, with a focus on the South Natick Dam as a case study. And it's an opportunity to learn more about how the Natick Charles River Dam Advisory Committee went through their process and have come to the recommendation that the removal of the dam as the best option for Natick. But we will hear all sides of the issue. Tent theology. I understand this is the last opportunity. It's on Wednesday of this week. Last opportunity to gather under the tent before it comes in for the season, so that should be fun. Lively conversation, munchies, and BYOB. Next Sunday, Sharon Kirby has arranged, and if you have any questions about this, talk to Sharon. You can browse from a selection of Advent calendars, Christmas books, and other holiday gift items that are coming from Wellesley Bookstore. I think this sounds like a lot of fun, and it is cash or check, so remember that, and you can participate in the Advent calendar Christmas book sale. And we don't have a slide for this, but I just wanted to say next Sunday is the stewardship in-gathering for pledges, and some of you may have already returned your pledge cards in the mail because there was an envelope provided in the mailing that you all got, but if not, bring it next week, and we will have an in-gathering of the pledge cards for stewardship. Thanks. I think that ends the announcements.
Thank you, Gail. Welcome, Reverend Cynthia Maybeck, heart of my heart.
Good morning, everyone, and good morning to those at home who are on Zoom. We invite you now, if you haven't already gotten a Christ candle or a candle, it might be orange this weekend, to get your candle and join with us as we invite the light of Christ into our hearts, into our minds, into our souls, for where would we be without the light of Christ? Let us join together as we light the Christ candle. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Make your home in us during these holy days of laughter and innocent pranks. And may the thin veil of All Souls Day, may our loved ones find their way once again into our lives to say hello. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Please join with me in the responsive call to celebration printed in your bulletin. Sometimes we feel too small and insignificant to be of any voice to Jesus.
Yet God provides a tree for us to climb so that we can see Jesus.
The tree is faithfulness. The tree is compassion, love, hope, joy, hospitality, and generosity. God, help us when we forget how much we are loved. Open our hearts to receive God's invitation this day. Now I invite you to please join, rise in body and or spirit as we sing our opening hymn number 407, Come Thou Fount. Let us pray. Please join me responsively as we pray the opening prayer. O God of love and peace, open our hearts today to receive the invitation of Jesus to come and be present in our lives. Release us from our smallness and create an atmosphere of hospitality, generosity, and healing love in our hearts and our spirits. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And now our call to confession. Who among us on a daily, maybe by moment by moment process, need to turn to God and ask for a new beginning or ask not to be so separated from the abundant love of God? So today we turn for our call to confession, knowing that God will protect us, give us strength and love while we persist in falling short of God's glory. Love and hope for us. Let us now join together to offer God those times we need Christ's help to be the people and to be the church that we are called to be. But first, let us enter into silent prayer. Let us join together in our common prayer of confession as we say together, God of mercy, forgive us when we make excuses for our lack of faith. We let our selfishness and apathy get in the way of illumination and peace. We find ways to duck out of our opportunities for service and peace, claiming that we are too small or too ill-equipped to be effective witnesses to Jesus. How foolish we can be. All of our lives you have been present to us, whether or not we knew it. Your love is always surrounding us, yet we have not taken the time to recognize it. We whine and complain about the misfortunes that have befallen us and wonder where you are. We want immediate release from our struggles. And when release comes, we again move off in our own direction. Help us, O God. Stop us from being so faithless. Open our hearts with your forgiving spirit that we, having been healed and forgiven, may actually be effective witnesses to your love and compassion. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. This is remarkably good news, people of God. You have been and always will be loved by God. Know that you are healed. Know that you are forgiven. Know that you are free. That God has placed a special blessing upon your life. Rejoice, rejoice, O people of God, for God is with you. Serve God in all that you do, think, and say. Amen.
May the peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Let us share the peace of Christ one with the other.
Children in preschool to grade 6 are invited to leave for godly play and connect, and parents are welcome to accompany their children and then return to worship once they are settled. As we prepare to give our offering, let us consider the obstacles and opportunities waiting for our faithfulness, knowing that God is on the move. Please rise in body or spirit for the song of praise. Let us pray. We bring you the gifts of our hands. We pray that they may bear the gift of ourselves, our wealth, our various special gifts and skills, and the gift of our commitment to share your great good news through Jesus Christ, in whose name and spirit we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning. Good morning. Recently, we all received the church's stewardship letter in the mail with a pledge card. Personally, I continue coming to FCC because of the commitment to missions and being present and welcoming in our community. As a member on our missions and outreach team, time and time again when we meet, we discuss the asks from individuals and organizations and always find ways the actions and words of others reflect our values of faith and our church's commitments. My faith and my commitment to FCC move me to pledge each year during stewardship because of the connection between believing and doing. I'll never forget when our son was born 3 weeks early, the mac and cheese casserole dropped at our doorstep without question, and the offer of more meals whenever we needed it. The meal was good, but the knowledge of being loved was even better. I invite you to consider how you will give to the church as a whole this stewardship season, and hope you'll join us, as Gail mentioned, for the in-gathering of pledge cards next weekend on 11/6. Our church's missions and outreach team believes it is our mission to express the love and welcome of Christ through word and action in our community and in the wider world. Our team frequently does this through monetary contributions supporting the efforts of others. Today, we are inviting you to be members of our team and decide on how to use the church's funds to be agents of change in this world. You will receive an envelope with $5 in it. As Gail said, the only rules are to take and use it as a donation. Could go to Dunkin' Donuts to bless someone else with coffee. I don't know. It could be seed money to do good for others or whatever else you feel would serve Natick and beyond. We encourage you to add to the contribution if you are able and hope you will share with each other as well as friends and family the work you do on behalf of our congregation. The ushers will now pass the plate. Please take an envelope. Don't forget to share what you do by email on our church's Facebook page or at coffee hour in November. Stay tuned for details on that. And as instructed by the parable in Matthew chapter 25, may we sow our gifts and talents that they may be multiplied and we all may live together in abundance. Thanks.
Thank you. Good morning. I'm so excited to be at First Congregational Church UCC in Natick. Wonderful to see you all. Praise God for the ministry of music here, Tom. Thank you. Praise God for the ministry of children and youth. I happened to be here yesterday and saw lots of kids in costume going by the front door of the church and getting little treats on the way. It's really clear that this is a church in the community, of the community, serving the community. And now you have an extra $5 to find a really creative way of giving away to the community. It is an absolute blessing to be with you this morning. I have a call from God to tell scripture by heart. And so I'd like to do that with you this morning. The text is Luke 19, chapter 1 to 10. This is how it would have been heard in the early church. People didn't have pew Bibles. There might have been a letter passed from pulpit to pulpit, but in general, people were sitting around hearing each other tell these stories that are the foundation of our faith. So this is Luke 19, verses 1 to 10, and it goes like this. Jesus was entering Jericho and went through it. And there was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector. He was rich. Now, he was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was, we would say, vertically challenged. Is short in stature. So he ran ahead and he climbed up a sycamore tree, for he knew he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, hurry down, for I am to stay at your house today." Well, he hurried down and he was happy to welcome him. And all who saw it began to grumble, saying, "He has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stood there. And he said to the Lord, "Look, I will give half of all my possessions, Lord, to the poor. And I will pay back if I have defaulted or cheated anyone out of anything. I will pay back four times as much." And the Lord said, "Today salvation has come to this house, for he too is a son of Abraham. The Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost." Here ends the telling of God's blessed word. Thanks be to God. Would you join me in a spirit of prayer? Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So these tax collectors, Jesus' own people, the Jewish people, were oppressed under Roman rule. They had no freedom. They were not free to worship. They were not free to be themselves. They were oppressed by the constant weight of taxes, of oppression, of all the Roman rule around them. And as so many oppressors do, the Romans were clever. They didn't send a Roman citizen to collect taxes. No, no, they sent one of their own. Someone within the community, Jesus' community of the Jews. Someone who was entrepreneurial and good with some business would
pay ahead all of the taxes, customs, fees, tolls that were required. And then in his own time, he would go through the community and collect what he had already prepaid. And, you know, there needed to be a little interest, a little extra. And this kind of system was just open to all kinds of extortion. Now, a chief tax collector was not in charge of all the other tax collectors. No, no, no. In Greek, the word chief is like our English word super. You know, like it was super delicious. It was a super good movie. He's a super tax collector. Really good at his job, fleecing the people to line his pockets as he saw fit. And he was very rich. And he's trying to see Jesus and he can't. Do you remember being a little kid and the parade comes by and there's grown-ups in front of you? Right? It was like he could not see. But here's the grace that I see in the story. He was trying to see who Jesus was. How amazing is that? You see, that's the very first step of the spiritual path. The grace of wanting to grow closer to God. And honestly, I think some of our financial comforts shield us from that longing, keep us comfortable so we maybe don't need to lean out and look. I think that's why Jesus spent so much time with the poor, the impoverished, those on the margins, because they couldn't help but long for God. And those of us who are financially comfortable, we can decide whether you go to church on Sunday morning or watch online or do something entirely different. But here in this moment, Zacchaeus, a super chief tax collector, wanted to see Jesus. What is it that captures one's attention? Well, he couldn't escape notice. He got on the bus at Harvard Square in Cambridge. He had blue pants and blue shoes and a rainbow-colored jacket. He was a wiry, energetic, elderly African-American man with a blue beret covered with buttons and pins. His sunglasses were blue. And if you looked carefully, you might see a blue butterfly on the palm of his hand. He got on the bus and sat in one of those side seats, you know, with your back is to the window, and right next to him over here was a woman. Her name was Terry, and he struck up a conversation with her as he tended to do. She was reserved. He continued to talk, telling maybe a story. Whatever. He looked from his eyes into her eyes. You know, the kind of look that carries a heart into the soul. And he said, "Tell me, Terry." She had shared her name by then. "What's your story?" "Oh, I don't have a story. I don't have a story." "Of course you do. Everyone has a story. What's your story?" I don't have any stories." "Well, when you get off this bus, where are you going?"
"Work."
"Oh, well, what does work look like?" Well, she was a staff assistant at MIT, and work looked like absolutely nothing interesting whatsoever. She was in a cubicle, the walls were gray, beige, she hadn't really noticed, and there was like way too much work to do, and people were not very nice, and she was really sick of this job, but she couldn't afford to get a different job, and there's no story here. And he said to her, "Is there a window?" "Well, yeah, over to the side of the cubicle." "Well, what's on the other side of the window?" She thought. "Oh, a maple tree." "Well, can you tell me a story about the maple tree?" She really didn't know what he was talking about. And fortunately, the bus stopped at her stop. She put her backpack on her shoulder, and off the bus she went and into work. That was a weird conversation. But you know, when she got to work, after she turned on her computer, she looked out the window, and yeah, there was the maple tree, green. And then she was thinking, of course, in the fall, it'll be crimson and gold. And the winter, after an ice storm, when every twig is coated in ice, and if the sun shines, it glitters. And she found herself thinking about that tree, about that window. Throughout her day, she was just musing about that. What grace captures one's attention to think further, beyond, bigger, wider, with that sense of love within and love without? What is the grace that captures our attention? Well, Zacchaeus was so captured, he climbs up a sycamore tree, which frankly is not really appropriate behavior for a leader tax collector guy. He climbs up the tree, and Jesus comes along and calls him by name. How does he? Jesus calls us by name. Isn't that amazing? Calls him by name and says, "Hurry down, I must come to your house today." And Zacchaeus hurried down and was happy to welcome him. Do you know that feeling of being happy to welcome someone? Do you recall the first time that you may have hosted Thanksgiving in your own home? Like it was always hosted by people a couple generations older than you, and then this one year, it's your turn, and all these people come. Well, I didn't have Thanksgiving, but the first house that my partner and I bought was in Worcester, built in 1940. There was a sunroom in the back, and it had a whole wall of bookcases. We filled them, every bookshelf full of books, and then two walls of windows, and it looked out on this beautiful yard with a maple tree right in the middle and this stone wall. It turned out that the next door neighbor had put in a swimming pool, and you can't just like put in a swimming pool and let it drain into your neighbor's yard. And so he had done this whole landscaping thing and hired Worcester Swedish masons to build this wall by hand. I'm telling you, there was not a bit of mortar, no mud or any kind. It was just rock upon rock, 8 feet tall and really, really long, this gorgeous wall that my neighbor never saw because he was in the swimming pool and I was in the lower yard looking at this wall. Well, we moved in that day, and I don't know if you remember this long ago, but it wasn't even possible for women to marry women. And so in those days, we would just create our own rituals, our own ceremonies, and figure out to do what we would do. And we borrowed some of those rituals and ceremonies from other cultures and other times in history. And so we laid a broomstick down on the front door sill, and before we moved in, Elaine and I jumped over the broom, which was a practice in the early 19th century down south in plantations where the people who were enslaved would live in cabins and did not have the freedom to marry whom they chose. And so there would be a ceremony of jumping the broom so that the community of enslaved people could celebrate and love and be present to one another. We had a whole bunch of friends helping with the U-Haul truck, so they all applauded when we jumped the broom, and then we unpacked the house, and it was 95 degrees, and somebody ordered pizza. We're on the front lawn eating pizza. It was too hot to be inside. And then our neighbor invited us to go in the pool. It was a great day. And the first time we had a gathering at that house, we invited my brothers-in-law and sisters-in-law over to have a cookout in the backyard. And by now, we had pink begonias planted around that maple tree in the back, the doghouse way at the end, and then that wall. And I came out the back door to just see how folks were doing. And there's my wife, Elaine, with her four brothers. And they're all standing like this with a Sam Adams Oktoberfest. And my brother-in-law, Bob, says, "Wow, that's a great wall." And every time we saw them since, they commented on that wall. Because it was home. It was our home. It was our home in which others were welcome. It was our home in which we could become who we really were. It was our home in which the Spirit of Christ was welcomed. It was our home, and we were so happy to welcome you there. Zacchaeus was happy to welcome Jesus into his home. I don't suspect many people in Jericho had been interested in going to Zacchaeus' home. But here Jesus wanted to come and enter into his home. And Zacchaeus stood there. And those around said, "Tisk, tisk. Look who's gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner." First century way of saying, ew. Imagine every time a bully throws some kind of a curse or tease, and how that cuts one down. So Zacchaeus must have felt so small, so small. And he has this moment. And the text says Zacchaeus stood there. "I'd like another few pages, please. What happens in a person's mind? What happens in a person's heart? How is it that a soul expands so that one who was stingy becomes generous? How can people who are used to giving a regular kind of amount somehow open to give more? How can a church that's used to receiving an offering suddenly turn around and hand out $5 bills so that the community would be spread? How is it that that generosity opens fourfold?" And yet Zacchaeus, it happens. And he says, "Lord, I give half of all I have away to the poor." That's a lot. 50% tithe there. And then he says, "If I have defrauded anyone of anything," hello. You've defrauded everyone of everything. Can you imagine the people, "if I have defrauded"? Like, you don't know how much you defrauded. If you have defrauded, come on. "If I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back." Now, they know it's coming. If you have defrauded someone, and you admit it, and you volunteer to pay it back, there is a 20% surcharge. And that helps the person who is defrauded. If you are not voluntarily paying it back in first century in Palestine in Jesus' time, then the courts will force you, or the custom will force you, to pay back double. And he is going to pay back four times. Not one, not two, four times, doubling and doubling, because the grace of being in Jesus' presence, the grace of being one who gets to welcome Christ, the grace of having searched and been found is so fantastic. Everything changes. Even as we are part of a church that has traditions and structures, there's a way that change and transformation happens even as we go on any given Sunday in any program. In a silent film or a reverse offering or a youth fellowship event, there are ways that this transformation turns in such a way that we are more fully who we are, knowing whose we are. And my friends, that changes everything, because it's a glimmer of the kingdom of God right here and now. That is what we're offered. There was a little flyer in the cafeteria at MIT about Sharing the Fire, a conference put on by the League for the Advancement of New England Storytelling, and it was right there at MIT. And so Terry went. And the keynote speaker was none other than Brother Blue, whom she had met on a bus ride. And she started telling stories, and she started hearing stories, and she told stories about that maple tree in spring and summer and winter. She told stories, she made up stories, she started telling stories of her dreams, and then she made those dreams come to reality. And it wasn't long after that that she left that job at MIT without another job or a plan, I may add. But she had this grace of knowing who she was. And she and a friend started growing herbs and began an organic farm in which they crafted tea. And they started a line of tea shops in and around Greater Boston. And she did that because she had a view from the trees. And like Zacchaeus, when we look upon the love of Jesus, we find the view from the tree. Amen. We have this opportunity to share with one another our prayers, our celebrations, and our concerns. And I wonder if we have celebrations and concerns this morning. I think we have some from our online community. And we have some from our In the Sanctuary community. Thank you, David. Gail, would you share with us the prayers from the online community? Oh, I have it right here. You guys are so great. I would ask that we would offer prayers for Janet Levesque's nephew, Alex Bishop, who has been deployed as a Massachusetts Army National Guard to the Middle East. He left on a flight at 5 a.m. this morning. So please keep Alex in your prayers. I'd also ask you to pray for the Jenkins family. Pierce Jenkins died last Sunday, and we pray for his family and those in the community of Natick who knew and loved him. Do we have other concerns or, yes, please. Let's celebrate Karen's sister, who is celebrating a birthday after not one but two brain surgeries. We praise God for healing, for life, and for family. Do we have other concerns or celebrations this morning to share with the community of faith? Yes. And her first name was Elise. Please pray. We celebrate the life of Elsie and pray for the family who grieve her loss and give thanks for she and her husband and all of the ministry that they did in the Armenian Orthodox community. Thank you. Others. Let us join together in a spirit of prayer. Gracious God, we give you thanks for this day. We thank you for the beauty of the crimson and gold leaves on the trees. And we thank you for the excitement of children in their costumes. We give you thanks for the children and youth in our lives. We give you thanks for the various ways that your healing has touched our family members, ourselves, and those we know. We pray especially for those who are deployed, that you would keep them and protect them and be present with family who remembers and worries. We give you thanks for all of our first responders. We pray that you would be present with those in need. We give you thanks for those moments of grace when we have so much confusion that we somehow think to turn to you. Indeed, help us to surrender again and again to your grace. Help us to remember to turn our face to heaven. Remind us that you are the guiding light throughout each day. We give you thanks for the wealth of giving that has occurred here today, both what we have given and what we have received. And we pray that this reverse offering would scatter throughout the community, sending light and love into all kinds of corners and places where there is need. May it be an inspiration for us to give even more. We pray for those who have not enough food to eat this week. We pray for those who have no safe place to sleep. We pray for those who are struggling in places of war and violence. We pray there would be justice in all lands, and that you would put in us a fire to help that justice to occur. Let us start with today, Lord. This week, place in our paths opportunities to help, to serve, to give, to listen. We pray that you would place into our lives opportunities to welcome others into our homes, knowing that you are right beside them. Help us to welcome the stranger. Help us to love the neighbor. Teach us to pray for our enemies. Lord, we ask all of this in the precious name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, for he is the one that taught us to pray, saying together, "Our divine parent, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." I would invite you to rise in body or in spirit for our closing hymn, "Take My Life and Let It Be Consecrated." My friends in Christ, go forth from this place looking for the view from the trees to see what is on the other edge of grace, of glory, and of a closer walk with God. Go in peace. Amen.